The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasaire Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
This is Lasaire Bradley, Jr., inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace.
Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my life in vain. I'm tempted then to murmur and of my lot complain. But when I think of Jesus and all He's done for me, then I cry, oh, I'm thankful for this opportunity to be with you once again to bring a message from God's Word that I hope will be encouraging to you during these difficult times. Indeed, we're all confronted with situations that we have never encountered in life, and it brings us to that point to realize how weak we are in ourselves and how desperately we need the blessing and mercy of our God to sustain us. I do want to continue these radio broadcasts. I believe that the Lord is using them to bring comfort and instruction to His people. And I realize that there are a lot of people today who are suffering financial setbacks and are not able to help. But if you are in a position to be able to give support at this time, we desperately need it if we're going to continue in this work. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. Or you can make a donation at our website, baptistbiblehour.org. Do you need comfort? Do you need help? Do you need courage? Do you need joy? Well, here it all is in a single verse. Psalm 31, verse 15. My times are in thy hand. Now the psalmist says, thy word have I hid in mine heart. And the apostle Paul writes, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. There are numerous short phrases in Scripture which are easy to remember. And if we hide those in our heart, if we commit them to memory, or we can bring them forward in times of challenge, what a blessing they can be to remember them, to meditate upon them. And our text today is one of those. My times are in thy hand. Then I often think of the words of David when he was going out to meet Goliath in 1 Samuel 17:47, the battle is the Lord's. Sometimes we forget that. We get bogged down, we become discouraged, we feel like giving up. We need to remember the battle is the Lord's. And then Psalm 56 verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10, fear thou not, I am with thee. And then the words of Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 27, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. These short passages committed to memory, bringing them forward to meditate upon them in times of challenge can be a great blessing. Now, as we consider Psalm 31, verse 15, we observe in the reading of the psalm that David was experiencing great grief. In verse 10, he says, for my life is spent with grief, my years with sighing. Now, some of this grief was because of his own sin, and some of it was because he was being persecuted by his enemies. But he was trusting in God. No matter what the circumstances had been, continued to be, or what he was anticipating them to be in the future. Verse 14 says, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. There may be troubles on every side. A worldwide pandemic that causes people to be gripped with fear. But you can say, the God who made the world and upholds all things by the word of his power is my God. In fact, he is my Father. And then he continued in verse 16 to say, save me for thy mercy's sake. So he had hope in his God in the most difficult of times. Verse 24. He concludes with a word of encouragement, the last verse of the psalm. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. So we want to consider the blessings which come by recognizing the truth of our text. My times are in thy hand. First of all, It gives peace while living in a troubled world. There's trouble throughout the world, permeating the whole human race because of sin. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Surely we'd have to say those times are here. Perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of that which is good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Does that not vividly describe the day in which we're living? Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And then it goes on to say in verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So we're living in a world that's under the curse and condemnation of sin. We see the results of sin every day. We battle sin in our own human nature, praying that God will give us grace to resist those weaknesses and temptations that would so easily beset us. And then in Matthew chapter 24, verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Now, no matter what your view of eschatology may be and where you would fit that particular passage, it certainly does describe the fact that there will be at times prior to the end of time and the coming of our Lord, that there will be pestilences and earthquakes and famines in many places upon the earth. But we look at that, have to recognize the reality of the troubles surrounding us in this world, but have peace when we recall these words, that my times are in thy hand. To know that God is on the throne, God is in charge, God is sovereign. Psalm 135, verse 6. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth, and he maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries. Now, I've talked to people who say, I believe that God is the creator, and I believe he set all this in motion at creation. But now the weather just kind of operates on its own. But when you look at the language of the psalmist, you understand God is still in absolute control of every detail. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes the lightning. He sends the rain. He brings the wind. And we see this confirmed when we go on to Psalm 147, verse 15. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoar frost like ashes. He casteth them for his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow and the water to flow. God controls every raindrop that falls, every wind that blows. God is in control. Every bird that flies, every insect that crawls, every germ, every virus, nothing is out of his control. That's reassuring, is it not? That the same God who created the heaven and the earth, upholds it by the word of his power, is the God who is on the throne of heaven now, absolutely controlling all things. What a hopeless situation it would be if we thought it was all in the hands of Lady Luck, or it was just a matter of chance as to how the events of life would be unfolding.
Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will." Now, the king may think he's absolutely in control. Man on the throne says, "I give a command and it is done. My wishes are carried out. I'm in charge." But this tells us that the heart of the king, no matter who he might be, no matter what leader, what position he occupies, the heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it even as rivers of water. And then Psalm 76, verse 10 says, "Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, and the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain." That's an amazing declaration, is it not? The wrath of man, man's sinful behavior, man's rebellion, all of the things that men may do, which are out of step, out of harmony with what God has commanded, yet the wrath of man shall praise thee. God will turn things about that will bring his purposes to pass. And the rest of it, he will restrain. So, coming to the realization that we can say of a truth with the psalmist, "My times are in thy hand," certainly gives us peace when we're living in a troubled world. It gives comfort in our trials. Trials come in keeping with God's purpose. We think of the trial experienced by Joseph as a young man when he was just a teenager. His brothers being jealous because of the coat of many colors that had been given to him by his father Jacob. They despised him. They decided to sell him into slavery. Certainly, he could not know at that point what God had in store. But in Genesis chapter 50, verse 19, after all of this is consummated, Joseph said unto them, that is to his brothers, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring it to pass, as it is this day to save much people alive." What a comfort in our trials. When we're going through horrendous difficulties, facing unexpected setbacks, reversals, sorrows, we can't understand what it's all about. But to remember, "My times are in thy hand." Joseph did not seek to be revengeful against his brothers. He held them accountable. "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And then we think about the experience of Job. James chapter 5, verse 11 refers to it. "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Certainly, Job had no idea of all that God was doing in the trials that came upon him, wiping out his wealth, taking away his family, afflicting him with boils and in a miserable state. He went through some dark days. He had some questions he would like to had answered. He didn't get all the answers, but he never gave up on the Lord. He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Now, there were a lot of things that were happening, a lot of things God was doing to demonstrate that his servant Job did not serve him just to get material benefits, but served him because he was truly dedicated to his God. But Job certainly didn't know that in the year 2020, there would be a preacher in Cincinnati, Ohio, speaking to people by live streaming and would talk about his experience, which had been recorded long ago by divine inspiration in the book of James. God was doing many things that Job knew nothing about, and his experience is left on record for our benefit. And even in this New Testament passage, we're reminded that we consider what God did and how God's mercy was displayed even in that trial, that the Lord was full of pity and of tender mercy. And so it is, we can say, my times are in thy hand. We think of it about suffering in general. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, for unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now, it may well be that the primary lesson there concerns the suffering that we might endure if indeed we were being persecuted. But the fact remains, coupling that with other scriptures, it is within the scope of God's purpose that his people suffer. He uses trials for their benefit. David said in the Psalms, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now he's given attention to the word of God. Now he's grown. Now there's some things that have come to pass that have been of great benefit to him. And then we just consider trials in general. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. That's difficult, isn't it? You read that and say, what on earth can James be talking about? How can you count it joy when you're facing all kinds of trials and troubles? These people were being driven from their homes. They were being persecuted. And yet he says, count it all joy. He didn't say that the event itself was going to make you joyous. You don't get to the place that you say, well, I'm sick. Praise God, I love to be sick. I'm racked with pain. I'm joyous because I like to hurt. No, that's not what he's talking about. He says that though the difficulty, the sickness, the pain is greatly troubling, he says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that they may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Many of the trials that we face are exceedingly painful. This current crisis is painful. When you look at the news and see how many people are dying, see the number of people that are in hospitals that are overcrowded, hear people speak of losing family members, how painful and devastating it can be. It can be a shattering experience to lose a job. Maybe here's a man that's barely making ends meet, knows it's his obligation to support his family, and all of a sudden, because of this crisis, he's out of work, or his hours are cut back, that it is challenging to continue. Certainly the death of a loved one brings deep sorrow, deep sorrow. And it's understandable that God's people will grieve. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it tells us this, sorrow not even as others which have no hope. The apostle acknowledges, we as human beings are going to shed tears. We're going to grieve if our loved ones are claimed by death. But our sorrow is not one of despair like those that have no hope. Therefore, he can say in the 18th verse, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another because there's coming a day that the dead in Christ shall rise first and will be united with the Lord. But we're acknowledging that trials and troubles of various sorts can be extremely painful. We're not ignoring that. But James is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and says, count it all joy, and here's why. The trying of your faith worketh patience.
God is working in your life to teach you and train you the things that you can learn in your sufferings you can't learn any other way. And God is determined not to leave you just standing still, but making progress in your spiritual walk, to conform you more and more to the image of Christ. And that occurs in the midst of sufferings. But he says, be cautious that you don't look for the escape hatch. Be patient. And at the end, you'll be mature, complete, lacking nothing. We have the promise, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That promise is not to everybody. You'll hear people that don't even profess to believe in God make statements like, well, I just think everything works out for the best. This is a specific promise to a specific people. All things are working together for good. Don't say that everything is good. Sickness is not good. Death in itself is not good, but all things work together for good to a particular people. They're the ones that love God, and the ones that love God are the ones that are called according to his purpose. You see, we just generally are not able to see all that God is doing in the time of our trial. Joseph obviously had no idea when his brothers sold him as a slave that one day he would be next to Pharaoh in power in Egypt and directing the storing up of grain that he might be able to feed a nation and feed his family in the time of famine. Joseph could never have imagined it. But he stayed faithful to his God, trusted God, and is a great example for us all. Job certainly did not know what was ahead when he lost everything, but God was at work in his life and used his experience. It's on record for us in the book of Job as a great source of instruction to us today. The disciples didn't know why Jesus put them on a ship that was going to soon run into a storm. But he had a purpose in it, because he revealed to them that he was able to secure them in a time that the wind was tossing their little boat about.
What a comforting truth that we should never forget. The psalmist says, my times are in thy hand. No better place to be. Our hope for today, our hope for the future, our hope to get through this time of great trial for our nation, for the whole world for that matter, is to know that God is sovereign. He has all power. Our trust is in him. If you would like to get this complete message on CD, request it when writing us. Until next week at this same time, may the Lord richly bless you all.
The Baptist Bible Hour has come to you under the direction of Elder Lasaire Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church. Address all mail to the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. That's the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217.